I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David.
How are you today? Are you doing well on this bright and sunny day?
Fully soothed. Thanks to you.
Well, you're welcome.
Can I have a guess what happened prior to this, David, pressing record?
Yeah,
what soothed me?
What do you think I did to soothe Marek? What do you think?
Have a little think.
And
build the picture.
And wherever you are, shout out your answer. No, that's wrong.
David gave me an ice cream.
He gave me an ice cream. It's nice.
It's 30 degrees outside, and there's supposed to be a storm brewing in approximately 1 hour.
There was supposed to be one last night, and it seems to be late.
The storm is late.
It probably arrived on Southern trains.
Do you know what, though?
What's that?
We have to mention our sponsor.
Yes, that's right. Before we talk about films, which we are going to talk about, we should mention that we are sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that promote diversity in films, not just ladies, but also other underrepresented groups. So if you would like to have a look at what they do, or if they could help you, then please go to herfilmproject.com and follow at Her Film Project on Twitter.
Unless you're completely normal.
Unless you're normal, or your soul is full of hatred for those who are not you.
I wonder who the most normal person in the world is, the most average person.
Richard Madeley.
Yeah. No, he's not normal.
You think he's abnormal?
Yeah.
Okay, the most normal person. Maybe the most normal person we would never notice is there, because they blend in so well.
And they thus become abnormal.
That's true.
I was going to say thence. No one's ever said that before, have they?
Go on, say thence if you want. Yeah, you say thence if
what
you want.
What does thence mean then?
Then, hence, this happened.
Thence.
Yeah. We're going to talk about films, and we've both been to the cinema, one of those rare occurrences where we call it a Film Fandango Eclipse. We don't call it that at all. We both went to see Baby Driver.
Yes, it finally came out.
It finally came out, Baby Driver. If you are not in the know, then you clearly don't really like films, because it's the only film on at the moment.
But it's odd. There doesn't seem to be anything
You can go and see Baby Driver or My Cousin Rachel, can't you? Those are the two things.
Yeah.
Baby Driver is Edgar Wright's latest film, directed and written by Edgar Wright, of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and World's End fame, and aborted Ant-Man film fame. And this is a film without Simon Pegg, and it's his first film, completed film anyway, filmed in America, I believe. But it tells the story of a young boy called Baby, who is a driver for a criminal, played by Kevin Spacey, and he basically goes on heists. But his quirk, if you like, is that he has tinnitus. Like all great characters, he's got tinnitus. And so to drown out the constant hum, he listens to music on his iPod.
The perfect way to have a soundtrack.
Yes. Basically, to make your entire film into a montage. Or a music video, basically.
You could say that, yeah.
If this film is a love story to driving, basically, because people if there's one group of people who love playlists, it's people who have to drive for long distances, isn't it?
Lorry drive, they're like CBs, though.
What a CB?
You're too young for CBs. When you'd have, before mobile phones, lorry drivers would have CBs where they just have two different frequencies and they talk to each other.
Oh, right, yes, yeah.
Alright, Dave, how's it going?
Alright, very good, it's alright. I've just killed a fox.
The pipes are falling out.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what it was like, but no longer. And Baby gets involved with a woman, played by Lily Collins. And things happen on the heist. It's got a good cast, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, I think the tone, it started, the cast is great.
The tone feels 80s, but still modern at the same time.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's got very 50s in it. It's clearly drawn a huge amount of influence from Tarantino, especially True Romance, I think.
Yeah, it's got the same sort of tone as True Romance.
Yeah.
Sort of, because True Romance has got a really unusual sort of slightly heightened,
yeah,
sort of
cool, cool, it's but cinema also, cool, but knowingly so,
and a bit just an edge of comedy, but not, it's not really a comedy, but there's something,
it knows it's slightly silly, but it doesn't make a feature of it particularly.
Yeah, I think the big thumbs up go to Ansel Elgort, who plays Baby.
Yeah,
Seen previously in The Fault in Their Stars, which is the, I think I reviewed about 2 years ago,
right,
film about two young, adaptation about two young people who have cancer. I thought he was excellent. He really held the film up. I mean, it started off, and no one's mentioned this in any of the reviews, but the start is very similar to the start of Drive. I mean, pretty much.
I can't remember. Remind me.
Start of Drive, spoilers, yeah, here, basically he picks up people off a bank job, he eludes loads of cars and then ends up dropping them off in a parking lot.
That's right.
And then taking his hat off.
Well, presumably that is how getaway drivers behave. Presumably that is why it is.
But it is, I mean, that is,
yeah,
I would say
close.
It's one of the most similar starts, yeah, to a, yeah, film.
There's a good cast of sort of supporting characters who are all, I wouldn't say any of them, I think, are particularly, you know, incredible actors in terms of, you know, giving real gritty performances.
Yeah, so
but
it's
they're
John
all
Hamm,
fun to watch.
Yeah, John Hamm, Isaac Gonzalez, we said Kevin Spacey before.
Yeah, it's got John Bernthal, who I always enjoy. Like, he's Punisher in the Daredevil TV series on Netflix, but you'll know him from all sorts of things. And it's got Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers in it.
Yes, and Jamie Foxx as well.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a ride.
I thought
it
was really great. And as opposed to, I much rather watch this than superhero films.
Sure.
And some people I've spoken to, I think the criticism of it has been that it's a bit, there's no real depth to it.
There isn't. And that's true, I think. It's all sheen. But it's a ride. And I think, in just the way superhero films are a ride, if you are fine with the number of superhero films we have, you have to be fine with the shallowness of this.
it's shallow, but I really like that. I thought the car chase, I thought the action sequence and the stunts were really, really great.
Yeah,
and
the marrying the
chase scenes are brilliant.
Yeah, the marrying of action with music, with direction, was all beautifully handled. Like, it is, it's expertly done. Like, it left me in its, for me, it left me slightly cold. I did enjoy it. I really enjoyed it, and I could definitely see that it's how much it's a love story to both driving and cinema. Like, it,
yeah,
is. It's just, it's pouring out the screen at you. You know, this is a guy who knows his stuff and knows it because he is so in love with the medium he's playing around with. It left me slightly cold just because it's so teenage boysy. I'm not there anymore.
You've grown up, mate.
Well, I know, but it's, you know,
well, you've got a,
the women aren't people in it, and I know it may be, you know,
women aren't people.
That's my only thing. It's just like, and I know it does. It, you know, there's plenty of worse culprits for this criticism, and there are. But it's like the women are just prizes still. And it's
you do notice when the one female criminal is literally 20 years younger than the other,
yeah,
two,
yeah, yeah,
and she's just wearing sort of crop tops, and you think,
yeah, and Lily James is basically just sort of in soft focus slow-mo most of the time.
But they are, I mean, they are all two-dimensional characters.
They all are, you're right. You're right, they all are. And it's just, it would have been more interesting to see some, you know, some characters we haven't seen before. I enjoyed Kevin Spacey in it. He's always,
you know, but it wasn't, I don't think it was just literally... He started to go down the Al Pacino, Robert De Niro
just
route.
Just doing what he does.
Oh, this is a Kevin Spacey, which is... We've seen this Kevin Spacey.
It's the Anthony Hopkins before. Thing, isn't it? Yeah. Although, you know, every now and again they come out of retirement and do a seriously good part again. Like, they are capable of it.
I've got... For me, there's one major problem with this film.
Right.
Which is a bit spoilers related. Which is one character really took me out of... It just jumped over between it being, it stopped being believable, even though it was quite heightened anyway.
Yeah,
but one moment completely ruined the whole bit for me.
Which one?
I said spoilers here. I know, which is Kevin Spacey's nephew.
Right. Yeah.
And he just features in a little bit of it, and it's so unrealistic. You know, it's basically just totally unrealistic.
Yes.
That it became, that was too cartoony, and then suddenly I thought, that would never happen.
For me, if it had been a single line of when he goes into the bank and he's looking around and everything...
That was fine,
and then the little kid does the line, that, for me, it would have had more taste if that was it.
That was great.
It gives you a hint at what this kid's life must be like, but... You don't want to really know the kid, because that the more you know, the sort of creepier that gets.
Yeah, and it was just totally unbelievable. That bit. And it spoiled it for me. I thought it was excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it's not really. It's the best of the action film. It's hard to do a sort of no brain action film with a bit of class much better than this.
It made me think that in terms of tone. Edgar Wright would handle something, I'm not saying do a remake because there's no point, but would handle something like Back to the Future quite well, because he's got that Spielberg eye for what shots are doing and how they link with each other, rather than just covering the action, you know, he is painting with moves, and his tone is similar,
yeah.
I think.
As a record, it's brilliant, I really enjoyed it, it did feel like Across the Twin Drive and True Romance.
Yeah.
I think both those films...
But without the violence of True Romance, actually.
And without the violence of Drive.
Because I haven't seen True Romance for probably over a decade, but Christopher Walken has real menace in it, right?
Yeah, he's one of the one of the greatest scenes ever, the Walken-Hopper
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, yeah. And this film doesn't have anyone who has that. Everyone is bubblegum. Like, they're baddies. Jamie Foxx is bubblegum. John Hamm is bubblegum. Kevin Spacey is bubblegum. You know, they're all just quite nice.
At least Jamie Foxx... I didn't particularly think John Hamm's character was that...
He was the least
distinguished of them all, I thought.
I've not watched Mad Men, so I've never quite got the John Hamm thing.
I think if you watch Mad Men, you totally get it. Mad Men is John Hamm in his perfect part.
Well, that's it. Because all the things I've seen him in, he seems slightly miscast. That's also, you know. So, but maybe you need to have seen Mad Men to sort of get the subtext.
Oh, he's so
or the context.
He's so brilliant in that he just gets other things, and people have seen it. They assume he's good. This is sort of because he's got that. He has got that 1950s chiselled look.
Definitely.
So when they try and make him into sort of a bit punky and a bit different, like by shaving off the sides of his
hair, he seems like he's in the wrong thing.
Yeah,
totally.
But he's got.
I still enjoyed him. I did. It's just I've always had a slight. Why are you doing this?
I'm going to give it 9 Marics, I think.
Really?
I just think it was done so well, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know whether it will stay with me as a.
I haven't thought about much in it afterwards, to be honest.
I really like the soundtrack. I really like that they used songs that I would have used in the films. I was quite annoyed. And when I heard them using Young MC, you know, the know-how one.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, shit, I was going to use that in my big blockbuster film that I'm never going to make in my life.
Sure. I look forward to never seeing it.
Yeah. Bumming Man.
The Bumming Man. Yeah, you know, it's... It's not quite for me, and yet, but I'm not going to mark it down for that because I think it's brilliantly made and I can see why people would be in love with it. I'd give it 8 and say, go see it, make up your own mind.
I mean, it's one of the best films of the year. I think it's really well done.
I wonder if he could handle something with a bit more depth. That's it, because I've not seen Scott Pilgrim, but I've heard what it's about.
I didn't know Scott Pilgrim.
I wasn't a huge fan of Shaun of the Dead, and I know lots of people were. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. Hot Fuzz is my favourite of the three.
I didn't like Shaun of the Dead. The World's End was bollocks, and
I thought The World's End was just more of the same, but just with not as fun.
Hot Fuzz is much better than Shaun of the Dead, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the dark twists in the Cornetto trilogy, as it has come to be known, for me are the things that don't land. So they feel out of place. It feels like you have a lurch in tone rather than that is a moment that works brilliantly in this film. So to an example of what I'm talking about, you know, you've got in Shaun of the Dead the bit with his mum, and you know, and you have an actual sort of weeping speech from Simon Pegg, and for me it's like, what am I watching now? This seems weird. And the revelation that his character again has been self-harming or tried to commit suicide previously in The World's End as well. And he's, this doesn't belong in this film. There's something, it's being mishandled somehow. And it's not like you can't have these huge lurches, because one that weirdly I think works perfectly is Gremlins, with the speech about the dad dying on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I can't explain why, it's alchemy, but it works. And there's something for me that I haven't seen Edgar Wright get that right yet. But everything else I'm loving.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how this film stands up in 10 years' time.
Mm.
Where it's got, like we mentioned, Drive and True Romance, they're still films you would watch bits of and they're great. I don't know if this has got anything to grip onto. Mm. If it was a climbing wall,
yes,
I think the holes might be quite small.
Yeah, it's a ball pit, isn't it, of a film?
What do you mean? Oh, we need to jump into it and jump back.
And you think nostalgically about it every now and again, but you don't go to a ball pit again, do you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very pleasing film. So well done, Edgar Wright, and well done to everyone who
involved. Well done. You should be really proud of yourselves. Good cars, everyone. I think it's time for this.
Here's a letter.
Who is it?
From Andy Behan.
What? Andy Behans?
I know. Oh, Andy, anyway. Here we go. It's starting off right now. Hey there, film watching buds. Reporting back on my Friday movie night. Just went to see Your Name, a Japanese animation, as a completely random choice. The film confused me. It starts out being as a cutesy rom-com where a guy and a girl start switching bodies on random days. Sounds nice.
Body swap, yeah.
Everything goes to formula. Misunderstandings, giggling, blushing, hijinks, grief, feelings, upbeat pop songs. Then, and this is about halfway through the film, the body switching stops. And the guy finds out the girl is from a village that was destroyed in a natural disaster 3 years ago. She's been dead the whole time.
What?
The movie briefly turns to a supernatural disaster romance thriller underpinned by Shinto spirituality with some trippy animation. This part was great. Then the movie shifts tone again. This time to a sentimental riff about soulmates. Overall, it was pretty underwhelming. I wish it had leaned to its weird and dark moments more or gone deeper into the Shinto thing. I love the idea of a really standard rom-com plot suddenly turning into a ghost thriller. It's possible I was put off because the guy next to me ate popcorn with his mouth wide open the entire film.
Oh.
Arsehole. How do you have enough popcorn to do this? Anyway, I give it 4 out of 10 Andes. Also, I note America's Annoyance is one with a native character in Wonder Woman. I haven't seen it and I'm not native, but wanted to point out that Native Americans enlist and have always enlisted, including in World War I, in huge proportions per capita compared to the rest of the US. It's a massive part of a lot of Native histories, and there are a lot of Native veterans out there. So rather than being panning to PC-ness, I'm actually surprised to hear they represented this part of the US's history. So that bit when I said about the Indian being in...
You said it was a bit United Colours of Benetton, and you didn't believe that a Native American should have been in the First World War in Europe, and you were wrong.
Turns out I'm an arsehole. Old news.
It's the moral of this most episodes.
Old news.
Old news. So what was that film called? It sounds interesting.
Your Name.
Your Name. Have you heard of an anime called Ranma Half? It's manga, actually, but I think they probably made an anime as well.
It does sound familiar.
Because I remember reading those when I was younger, where it's a boy who, when he's splashed with water, turns into a girl.
Yes.
Really weird. He's a teenager. So it's like Spider-Man in that whole, no one must know my special power at high school. But he turns into a girl. And his mentor, who teaches him kung fu, turns into a panda. Anyway. Track that down. This is from Rob Marland.
Oh, Vauxball player extraordinaire.
And this is on the subject of mum reviews. In this week's episode, fellow fandangler Christine sent in a film review by her mum. I am all in favour of consulting mums about movies. So here are my mum's reviews of a few of the latest Hollywood blockbusters. Excellent, this is good. We should do more of this. Okay, first. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, or as she calls it, Galaxy Defenders. I didn't see the point. Why is there a raccoon that talks? It's just stupid. And what's that little bit of wood all about? Chris Pratt should retire or get a job as a street sweeper. Alien Covenant. It just gave me the giggles, I'm afraid. I found it really, really funny seeing all that blood and gore and guts.
Wow.
I mean, that's worrying. It's troubling.
Yeah, worrying.
It's troubling, really. Baywatch. It's a comedy and they did it really well. There are boobs and that hunky fella for us ladies. Not the little Efron, Dwayne, whatever his name is.
Oh, The Rock.
The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Wonder Woman. I wasn't enthused by this film. She was pinging off the bullets, but if this was proper empowerment, she would have had her own blummin' gun. It was a rubbish film. For more of the same, why not listen to our new podcast, My Mum Has Seen a Movie?
Oh, he's done us.
That's right. I just plugged our film podcast right inside your film podcast. Take that, suckers. Rob Marland. Is that real? My Mum Has Seen a Movie?
Yeah, you're doing a film podcast, yeah.
Well, we could play the game on here and just completely steal his idea. I mean, he's given it to us, hasn't he?
No, can't.
If you'd like to write in with your mum's reviews of films, we'd love to hear them.
Oh, you can't do that. It's a good idea, though. Good luck with your rival podcast.
Yeah.
Here we go. Another one?
Sure.
Simon. Bad films. On the recent subject of bad films, I happened upon Dirty Dancing on Channel 5 on Sunday. Boop me. That was excruciatingly bad. I don't know why I beat the fuck out. What is it then?
Yeah, I didn't know another couple.
Just
so keep saying fuck
awful.
Every now and again.
It actually had some recognisable fucking faces in it. Nicole fucking Scherzinger, fucking Grace from fucking Will and Grace, and one of the cast from fucking Modern Family.
Hang on, Nicole Scherzinger in Dirty Dancing?
I didn't know those fuckers were in there. Why on earth you would do this is beyond me. I know the trend is to remake or reboot classics, but I can't imagine one has ever been done this badly. They might as well have shut Tom Patrick's Swayze's grave. What's the worst remake you've seen apart from this pile of shit?
I was not even aware they'd done it. It's a TV movie. I've just looked it up. Came out this year.
Mental to do
a musical reimagining of the 1987 film Dirty Dancing.
3.1 on IMDb.
So it's a musical. It's got Abigail Breslin in it. Oscar winner Abigail Breslin.
Nicole Scherzinger would literally do any advert or TV thing for money. It's absolutely
her
incredible.
Accidentally getting a perfect spot of yogurt on the tip of her nose every time in those yogurt adverts makes me want to nuke the world. So fucking annoying. Hey, but it's got Lando Calrissian in it.
Oh, great.
As Tito.
What are the worst remakes? I mean, all of them are, I just think all the recent remakes have all been pretty shit.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there was an era of a lot of things being remakes and we just weren't aware they were remakes, but they were genuinely good films. And it seems to have died a bit, that ability to make something new and relevant to the modern day and keep its quality.
The more I think about the Ghostbusters, the more I dislike the Ghostbusters.
Well, the problem with the original or the new one?
The new one.
I think the problem for me with the new Ghostbusters is that it became too highly politicised, and so people were willing it to be the best film they've ever seen when it was a remake, so it wasn't going to be. And also, it's not a Ghostbusters film, it's a Paul Feig film. So it's just a screwball comedy that isn't a genre film, and I think that's the mistake it made.
Yeah.
It should have been a pastiche of a horror film like the original was, and it would have been more fun, I think. But anyway, we've talked about Ghostbusters.
I thought
about
the Magnificent Seven was terrible.
I thought the Magnificent Seven was fine. I thought it was, you know, it had some fun action sequences, but just it wasn't as engaging as other films that haven't got as much attention. Like, I thought the shootout at the end of Slow West was better than anything in the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And Slow West cost a fraction of the budget, you know.
Did you watch Clash of the Titans?
Yes. Terrible.
It's so good, the original.
Yeah, haven't seen it. They've not remade Jason and the Argonauts, have they?
No, when are they going to do Krull and stuff like that?
Krull. What would be the point of remaking Krull? It's perfect. You can't remake Krull. Yeah.
Arthur's supposed to be bad. I've not seen it. That's the Russell Brand remake of Dudley.
Dudley Moore's. Oh, yeah, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible. Well, all the remakes are crap, aren't they? They're remaking Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
No.
With women, yes. With Rebel Wilson.
I'm not a fan of Rebel Wilson.
No, she's all... I like her in the Pitch Perfect films, actually, and that's why she's got a career. She is kind of funny in the...
One more letter.
Go on, then.
Well, this will lead on to my film I'm going to talk about.
All right.
It's from Dave Christensen. And such as Baby Driver and The Circle. And we're going to talk about those bloody films.
Well, but bloody, hear what he has to say before it disappears.
It's almost as if he's predicting the entire future, Dave Christensen.
Oh, we should ask him to predict.
Or is it Dave Christensen?
Christensen.
The new
second coming.
Anyway, let's see what the second coming of the Messiah.
The second coming would be called Dave.
And he has, of all the podcasts, he's chosen to write in to Film Fandango.
We are the chosen.
Very limited listenership.
You've made a grave error, Dave, son of God.
He's not going to go well for the son of God if he goes on doing...
Well, no, but maybe, you know, the original Jesus had 12 disciples and the new one has our listenership, so has 14 disciples.
But let's just see what Dave got to say.
Okay.
Hi all, I'm sure at least one of you will have seen Baby Driver by now. Both?
Correct.
And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I don't have much to say other than I thought it was great. I found it hard not to pretend I was baby when driving home from the cinema.
Yeah, I told you, it's for drivers, isn't
it? Yeah. What other films have made you want to behave like the main character when you've left the cinema? Drive.
Wonder Woman.
Last night, I watched The Circle on Netflix. I really enjoyed the book a couple of years ago, so was looking forward to the film. Apparently, it's come straight to Netflix in the UK because of how badly it did in the box office in the US. It wasn't terrible, but I think it had real problems with lack of development of some of the characters. I don't really know what we're doing with the Tony ending. It seemed like they wanted to make a happy, fun version of Black Mirror, which completely misses the point of Black Mirror. I'm interested to hear what one or both of you think. Also, I watched I Don't Feel at Home Anymore in This World, on your recommendation. That was great. Keep watching some films, Dave.
Yes, just on that last point, I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore is a very good film that's gone straight to Netflix.
I watched that as well.
Oh, did you? What did you think?
I didn't like it as much as you liked it, but I still thought it was very good. It's very, it really has that feel of a Macon Blair film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is a bit, they're all slightly sort of vengeance.
Vengeance figures highly, but they're vengeance mixed with existential angst as well.
Yeah.
Like it's not sort of blood pumping, striding forward vengeance. It's sort of like, oh, I can't think of anything else to do.
Yeah, and they're always quite sort of gory in the shooting. He's definitely got a real feel to his films.
I thought it's funny, man.
I thought Menyliski was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really loved Elijah Wood in it.
He's great.
He's really cool, actually.
He gets dismissed as just a sort of another pretty boy actor quite often, but he makes really interesting decisions in the projects he'll do, you know.
I think, basically, he did Lord of the Rings and you know, literally made millions and millions of pounds. And I think he's just gone, I'm just going to do weird films like
things like
Sin City. Yeah, you know, when he plays that really horrible bad,
doesn't speak.
Yeah, and this one he's great in this one as well. I really like it. I think he's brilliant in this. I liked it. I gave it 7 merits. Might be a bit harsh, but I think because you said it was so good.
Yeah. So The Circle, what is this?
The Circle is out this year. It's always a big release. It stars Emma Watson. It's got Tom Hanks in it, John Boyega, and Karen Gillan in it. Beck makes an appearance in it. It's a story.
Oh, Bill Paxton's in it.
Well, that's one where I'll come to the weird bit later on. It's a story of Emma Watson, who's got a rubbish job with a perfectly symmetrical face, and she gets a job working for The Circle, i.e. a really sort of like Google, basically.
Right. She'll get a job working for Google.
And
okay.
Tom Hanks is the head of Google, and he's there with Patton Oswalt as his assistant, and they want everything to be transparent, and everyone's really, really nice, and everyone talks to each other, and everyone joins part of the community, and it's all sort of all encompassing, so you just literally get enveloped into this world where everyone shares everything.
Right.
One of the weirdest things ever, this is a weird thing that's totally not by chance, is that Emma Watson's parents are played by Bill Paxton and Glenn Headley, who both really recently died. Glenn Headley's the woman in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, yes, 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 who's brilliant.
And they play her parents, and it's really odd to have two people, and it really freaked me out. It's totally something just by chance.
Yeah, yeah,
you've got
yeah.
two people playing her parents, and this must have been their last film.
It just puts a shadow over the scenes they're in.
But they're
right?
both together. And yeah. they're both, and you think they both died too young, both really recently. And it's an odd thing that's happened that's obviously just slightly made that bit of the film really weird.
Yeah.
Because you think they both died too, and it's really new news. So I don't know if any of our listeners have other moments which freak you out for no reason, for where real life has sort of intruded
yeah.
onto the film. So that's odd. Emma Watson. I mean, let me just say, first of all, this is a fucking pile of shit.
It's been buried. Certainly been buried.
Other than Bill Paxton and Glenn Headley, who looked like they were hating every second of it, who had minor roles, I wanted to punch everyone in the face during
Tom
the
Hanks.
Course of this film. Tom Hanks is his most annoying
Aww.
Doing Tom Hanks thing. It's so bad. It is bad. First of all, Emma Watson... I don't know what the draw is. I do not understand.
The draw is that millions and millions of people around the world grew up at the same time as she did watching her films. That is the draw. So, you know, she was Hermione when she was, 11 years old, and now she's a woman, and so are the people who were 11 when she was 11. You know, that is the draw. It is pure nostalgia, I think, because she is not a good actor.
I don't think she's a bad actress.
I do.
But I just think that her...
I genuinely do.
I mean, it's me talking. I've got a weird face and know what it's like to be typecast because of your face. But her face just doesn't... It's really cold.
Mm.
It's a really cold, perfectly symmetrical face that doesn't... It's not... When she's playing a character who's supposed to be quite a troubled character, I don't feel any warmth to her.
No.
I don't know whether that's just me, my genetic makeup thinking I don't...
No, I don't think that is what she can do. You know, I just don't think she's capable of giving that.
Yeah.
She's had a very odd career post Harry Potter in terms
of the
films.
Beauty and the Beast was a big
but
success.
But that's the big one, but nobody talked about her in it, which I thought was odd considering she's the lead. You know, it was all about everyone else in it, really.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either, but she did The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which I didn't see. The Bling Ring, which people talked about
that
a bit.
Sounds shit, isn't it?
This Is the End, where she just had a cameo as herself, which was that sort of pothead apocalypse comedy. Noah, which looked like the most humourless cast you could ever assemble, basically, of Russell Crowe, Emma Watson and Jennifer Connelly. It's just like, oh god, and no one went to see it. The Colony and Regression. Nope. And then Beauty and the Beast and the Circle. Mm. Like, it's not been...
People only remember the big ones.
Yeah.
This film is shockingly bad. It's really patronising. The script is terrible. It feels like Emma Watson's joining a big cult, pretty much, where everyone's really nice to each other.
Right.
And no one says, hang on a minute. This is all really fucking weird. Tom Hanks does these speeches, which I'm just going to give spoilers because don't watch it. Which are just... And watch it if you want to watch a really bad film.
Right.
He does these TED Talks things, almost, for the Circle. Here's what we're going to do. And everyone just claps and laughs at all the jokes, even though they're not funny. And the things that he's saying aren't anything you clap about. There's one really weird scene where, basically, she ends up having a camera on her and showing everyone her life, so it's a really clumsy comment on the sort of total transparency of modern life and how it doesn't really fit in with happiness, but it's done really badly. John Boyega's character is this sort of anti-establishment character who has no plot resolution.
Right.
It's almost as if someone's gone, we can get John Boyega for 2 days. The part really needs 5 days, but if we just get him to do the first 2 days of the part and then leave out the rest of,
yeah,
we'll do that.
I mean, he's in Star Wars, we have to do that.
I mean, people just see his face and come along. I mean, it doesn't have to make sense, but think of the money.
I mean, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Tom Hanks, this is a surefire hit.
Yeah.
Beck, we've even got Beck.
It's the possibly the worst waste of a cast ever.
Hmm.
Karen Gillan from Doctor Who's in it, and there's a bit when she suddenly decides she doesn't like the Circle anymore. And they do this by her, you know, not washing her hair and having bags under her eyes. That's her, you know, that's to show that she's had a bit of a breakdown. It's so clumsy and so bad. Every single moment in this film is shit. It's jaw-droppingly shit.
So,
and no one just went, you know what, I don't want to...
Is the true meaning of the Circle is an anus?
Arsehole.
And it's just extruding turds into your eyes
that's
and mouth.
That's what it is. It should be. Just everything in this film, that's
well,
what
maybe that's
is.
Intentional.
That it's just basically shitting into your...
Yeah, and going, ha-ha, you paid for this, ha.
Well, I didn't. I'd go on Netflix, I watched it. I paid for it with my 2 hours of my life.
I'm still shitting into your mouth, ha.
It's been dished on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got 15%. I don't know who's given it... 18 million the budget was.
Wow.
18 million Netflix to... I don't know if it was a film before and they sold it to Netflix or whether Netflix made it. Anyway... It doesn't work on any level. Acting tonally is totally mismatched. Tom Hanks is... All the characters are two-dimensional. Emma Watson has no charm. Karen Gillan is a knob.
what, the person? Or...
It's just... It is... I think that they, the letter came in saying it's an attempt to be Black Mirror... But without any edge or any of the good bits of Black Mirror, it doesn't work at all.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Where can you track this film down if you're desperate to have turds
it's on Netflix.
In your eyes? Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, as we talked about,
the worst film of the year so far, The Circle.
It has been buried, as I said. Nobody has been talking about it at all. But you can hear us talking about it here.
Tom Hanks is going to be upset when he hears this, isn't he?
I mean, yes, he's going to be heartbroken.
He didn't give up, he'll stop.
He'll probably not invite you around for Christmas this year.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't want to play on his big piano.
I know, Christmas at the Hanks's.
His foot piano.
Yeah, that he's got in all of his houses.
Yeah.
Wherever he goes, there's a foot piano.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that foot piano in, what's it?
Tom Hanks's house.
SEO Schwartz or whatever it's called in New York. It looks really sad and broken and old now.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a bit like this podcast.
We'll be back next week with yet more films.
Hang on, your podcast, you've done a play.
What? Yeah, I have. I've done something good. I'm in a sketch group called The Penny Dreadfuls, and our latest radio play is going to be broadcast tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day we release it, or Saturday, as it's also known, Saturday the 8th of July, at 2:30 in the afternoon, and it's called The Penny Dreadfuls Present Le Carré on Spying, and it's a 1960s Cold War thriller comedy.
Can you download it on the thingy jobs?
You can after it goes out live. I think it's up on iPlayer for 60 days. I don't know how you get hold of it if you are a foreign living abroad. I don't know how you do that. But yeah, I'd appreciate it if you listen to that and if you enjoy it. Why not write a letter to the BBC, because they seem to really still have a system that cares about receiving letters.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not write a letter saying, I really enjoyed that play by the Penny Dreadfuls. Also, I've been shocked by the notable absence of Marek Lahr from any radio shows.
Hey, really, I put you in one.
Oh, yeah, for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
A lot of the radio producers come along and play Vauxball and never give me any money towards it, but when it comes to giving me work, they've given me none.
Nothing at all. Well, you know, hopefully we'll change that one day. Yeah, that's it. If you'd like to write in, then please do go to filmfandango.com. There's a form there, and we'll receive you a message from there. Also, we do all this for free, so if you'd like to contribute towards our running costs, then please, again, filmfandango.com, and click the donate button. And everyone who has, thank you very much. It's much appreciated. When we receive your little donation emails, it really lightens our days, doesn't it? It's like, oh, people are listening. It's great.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.